Hi and welcome to the About Her show. I am Sangeeta Grellin, an educationist, a writer and a lifelong learner. I also run an e-magazine for women. This podcast is about trailblazing women and their journeys. Women who have broken many a barrier, many a stereotype to realize their potential. If they can do it, so can you. Throughout our lives, the environment we find ourselves in plays a significant role in our personal growth and development. Whether it is through subtle or direct means, the influences we encounter inevitably shape who we become. Our guest this week is Shivani Modi, who shares her belief that her life experiences have led her to seek balance and harmony. As a result, she has dedicated herself to helping people master their minds and achieve success in all areas of life. Let's talk to Shivani and see how she does this. Hi, Shivani, and welcome to the About Her show. And as I had mentioned to you, that this show is about women achievers, who we call women trailblazers. We provide them with a platform to come and talk about the journey of their lives with us, to tell us about the challenges that they may have faced, ups and downs, joys and sorrows. The idea behind it being to inspire the listeners, that's the women listeners, to get out of whatever is holding them back and, you know, realize their potential. As you would agree that most women have dreams, ambitions, they want to do things in life, but for one reason or the other, they're not able to do them. Here, the idea is to, you know, let them listen to others and feel that if she can do it, so can I. And eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support, empower, and mentor each other. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So without much ado, let's dive in and with the first question. So could you tell us a little bit about your childhood, your early life, and how you think those experiences, you know, shaped your personality and made you the kind of person that you are today?
So when I think about it, I think I can say that there were three big influences in my life, in my early childhood. One is that I had a maid who I loved to death. She was very prayerful, very godly human. She was either japing the mala constantly or visiting holy places. So I think it's not as if it was who she was, but it influences it. It creates a framework of a certain kind of person that impacts your life. And for somebody who was completely illiterate, she was full of Puranic stories. So that just became a narrative, a language that I was exposed to. Then my nani house was Jain. I would say that was my biggest religious, spiritual influence. And Jainism is a lot about how we do life rather than scriptural knowledge. And then I grew up in an Arya Samaji home. So we had Havan every Sunday. So there was just from every different place, there was these different subtle influences, but they created the fabric of my life and fabric of what I absorbed as a child. I would say that though my grandparents from both sides is business homes and families, but the conversation was not so much about the business as much as that about a certain type of living, about values, especially the Jain, this thing. Like I remember so clearly as a teenager, my nani would say things like, you must take off all jewelry at night and put it away. And you say that maine tumhe tyaga till the morning.
Okay.
So such a little thing, but it's like it's teaching you how to have a certain distance from material things, even though we lived with material lives and it wasn't as though there was austerity there. But in what you absorb, there was definitely a very powerful spiritual and value-based sort of life.
Okay. So you, it did influence you, and you think that what you're doing today is an offshoot of that?
I think so. I think it was subtly, there was a language that I imbibed.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You know, not everything has to be taught to you in a very obvious manner. Children tend to imbibe more, you know, by observing than by being actually told to do something. You know, that
is very true.
All right. So as a young girl, as a young child, you must have had aspirations or dreams of wanting to become something or like someone when you grew up. So could you share some of those with us? Or any one of those?
No? I was just a regular kid. When I think about that, I can't really say that any such thought had crystallized in my head. I was a fairly timid, we were in a traditional home, so kind of law-abiding citizen of that traditional
home. So. All right. Okay. Okay. So, did you think you would do when you grew up?
You know, traditional Baniya homes, the girls kind of realize that at some point you'll marry and raise a family. And I thought I would work. What that work would look like or how it would manifest was still, I also got engaged very early. So I must say that I don't really think I had won any great narratives.
Okay.
To be candid and honest.
Fine. That's actually a lot of us, a lot of women in, I mean, our country, they do grow up like this, so which is absolutely fine. But I think, yes, like you said, what to imbibe somewhere, then it comes out later in life, you know. It may not be as direct.
Yeah.
All right. So then coming to the work that you do now, that there are two things that I know about you. I mean, I've known you for, I think, almost 10, 15 years now, if not more. And one thing, of course, is your love for saris, of course, which we have in common and which we will come to in a while. But the space that you are in right now, which is about self-regulation, mastering the mind, how did you get into this?
So, like I said, I married young. And I married into a home which was very entrepreneurial, like, fiercely entrepreneurial, very successful. It was all about the impact you're making, the reach you have. So from this sort of very Gandhian value-based life, there was this life of impact, this life of going out and doing in the world.
Okay.
So I would say because I got engaged in marriage so early, so that also became a very strong influence of how I saw a very different way of living life. And between the two homes and families that I absorbed and imbibed from, I drew a lot of value. I can't say that I had any great entrepreneurial ambitions.
Okay.
But I did feel like something was missing. There was something that I wanted that, and I didn't know what that something was. Like it was like a quiet searching.
Okay.
You know, and though, so life was comfortable, but I wanted something. Now I had no idea what that something looked like. Right. So, when I did my first Isha program, when I met Sadhguru, and it wasn't like, oh my God, this is my guru. But I did a program that promised, I had heard that meditation is very good for you. When I did that, that changed my narrative. That changed my understanding of life. It changed my perspective dramatically.
Okay.
And somewhere, it was like I found.
Okay.
So that's where really my journey began.
Where you started to think that you wanted to do something.
No, where I started to understand that there's a science to self. There's a different way. Like experientially, I found that how I acted, reacted, responded, shifted. So this is still not about me wanting to do anything. It's just about me imbibing a different way of learning, like a whole different life language, which until then I had not been exposed to. So my language changed, my relationships changed, my relationship with other people changed, my relationship with nature, like everything had like a subtle axis shift. So I think that's where that journey began. And there was also a yearning to do something which was meaningful, that was of service. Of like helping others. And I think my love for saris also shifted from just being my love for the beauty of saris and to wanting to make a difference, wanting to, first was also just wanting to help the craftsman. But after a point today where I stand, I think I look at it and I see an intricate Orissa ikat. And I remember a friend of mine who's an entrepreneur with Orissa Ikats. She's like, Shivani, they're magicians. They're mathematical geniuses. So, you know, there's so much, there's a certain godliness in their work. There's an alignment of the of themselves that comes out in the textile they create. So it all started to come together about our culture, about life, and that's how the journey.
How beautiful is that? So then Seeker is what you are, I mean, the name of the organization that you are currently a part of or which you started. So what does it exactly do?
So Seeker, Seeker is an app, a digital platform that I founded. And I found these two other co-seekers, let's call it. I was a seeker on a path. My two other people, and together we created a framework. All of what we do, what we have done, is based on ancient Indian scriptural knowledge. And together, what we did was we created a framework that can measure the mind, which can help you understand where are you standing, and how to move forward. And this is not like just like material success. Because today the world sees everything in from the lens of material success. But it's about holistically, where am I standing? Which part of my mind, how is my mind impacting every aspect of my life? And that quest or that quest to create value, to be able to give something to people that can aid and assist their life. That's when the Seeker journey began, where the Yogi Meters journey. So what it does is, what this test does is it measures your cognitive attention. So what is your cognitive attention? Your ability to grow, learn, be of value. And so it gives you a measurement. Now, the mind is also like sort of driven in such a way that we like numbers. It helps us understand growth looks like, what falling back looks like. So the numbers can help you and assist you in that path. And we have, so you don't just take a test. The test is the measurement. We run classes. We give remedies. There's mentoring sessions. So it became a a whole way of helping people understand, giving them a framework.
To understand their mind.
To understand their mind and its impact on their life, and to understand how you can create a system out of your life so that it can be more predictable, so that the results are not accidental.
Okay. So a very scientific way of, doing it, and measurable, objective way of doing it. Because yes, as you said, that numbers, we understand numbers. You know, numbers are definite. They give you some definite results, and so you kind of trust them more. Okay, so very interesting. All right.
And we really, what we find is that all our ancient seers, all these ancient texts, they were scientists.
They were
scientists. It was just a science of a different kind, one that modern science doesn't yet fully understand or ascribe to.
Yeah, but you are right. Okay. So when you decided to embark on this journey, okay, like you said, it was a gradual transition. So when you decided to do that, I'm sure the journey must have had its share of like ups and downs and challenges. So if you could elaborate on some of those, and also if you feel that some of those challenges were because of your gender.
I had spent a large part of my life volunteering with handicrafts and handlooms. So taking on Seeker, it was tech and it was entrepreneurship and it was a platform. I was at sea. I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something that I found meaningful. But did that mean I was equipped for it? Absolutely not. I would, we had put a team together. So I would think to myself that I'm my office's biggest intern. Because I was learning on the go. That it's not necessarily about people who have lots of knowledge. It's just really about your commitment to what you want to do. And in time, you find the path.
Yes.
But perseverance, just sticking it out through the dark darks. And not be willing to let it go.
That is very important. Yes.
It's very important. So I remember hearing a story where it was like a guru telling the story about when people are seeking, they'll dig 3 feet and they'll say, no water. Then they go somewhere else and they take another 3 feet. Okay, no, this is not working. Let me try somewhere else. Saying that you just keep digging that 3 feet or five and you give up because you think you can't find water. But the truth is that if you just stuck it out in one place and kept digging, some point you're going to hit water.
Yes. I think that belief is very important. You have to believe in what you're doing. Yeah.
Commitment. Yes. Yeah. I believe also, like, if you know that your intention is in the right place, like for me, I was wanting to create something. I wanted something that was in this space. But now I want to do something. It's in this space of seeking, helping. It's got a scriptural basis to it. But now how to make a business out of it? How to deliver that value? How to convert from a desire to something that works is a journey.
Awesome.
And there's many a hiccup in it. There's many a times you get it wrong. And that's usually the way how you find out the right.
Yes, you have to experiment and you have to be kind of open to, fail maybe a couple of times. But then, like you said, stick it out, just be consistent and be at it. I think that is the secret behind it.
I think gender, no, I don't think it's about men or women. I think it's just about where is your focus? Who are you? Like, what are you contributing? How much did you learn today? How much did you shed off some pre-determined notion you might have had? which is not serving you well. So no, I don't think the journey has been about me as a woman. It's just been as me as a person that's seeking to find something, to create something.
So tell me, Shivani, you set out on this path after being married for some time. You had your children, all of that, right? So it was a gradual transition, a gradual process, wherein you ultimately now you are at in a space where, yes, you're doing something that you want to do, other than the, you know, like run of the mill, which every woman has to do, you know, family and all of that. Now, if you were to come across a woman in your kind of a space who's going through that, but wants to do something, so what would you tell her? I mean, how would you inspire her that, you know, okay, I want to do something, but I don't know, and I'm still bogged down by, you know, the mundane of life, what I have to do as a wife or a mother or whatever, whatever. So how would you, you know, motivate them, or how would you encourage them to kind of believe in themselves and ultimately maybe do something?
So I think there's a few things to it. First is that you have to be willing to fail. Like one of the things that really comes in the way is this over obsession with success.
Yeah.
You start with, before you even begin, you really, really just want to be successful. So your focus is so much, anybody's focus is so much on the end result that you're not putting enough attention to the path.
Yeah.
And that's very important. It's very important to firstly just know that your relationship with should be about what you're doing, about what you are giving to it, rather than how it will play out.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a really difficult thing I'm asking of you, me, or anybody. Huh. Because of course we want to feel that success. But the truth is that unless you're not going to love the journey, unless you're not going to just have belief in trying it out, it's you're going to be, you want to grow what is in the here. Eyes are somewhere in the future. Yeah. So what are you actually giving attention to? Only if that attention goes to what is in the here will that future manifest.
Correct.
And the second thing is that I think that as women, we identify, we're nurturing creatures. So our families, our kids, our responsibilities to society, to loved ones, friends, is very strong. But I believe every human being, and I don't even think it's necessarily men or women, but I think every human being needs to feel a certain validation of self.
Of course, yes.
You feel like, I did this because it's about me.
Yeah.
It's about my contribution.
Right.
And for that reason, any day you start should be the right time. For me, I think, when my girls started to grow and they were like, you know, they had both left the nest. One had gone to boarding school, one had gone to college. And while they were growing, I was really sure that I wanted to be an around mom. I wanted to do part-time work. Raising them and being around was very important to me.
Yeah.
And it was a very important part of how I wanted to do life. But once they had both left, and knowing that now it was just going to be their life is about them growing and them moving forward. Mm-hmm. So then comes, what about me?
Yeah.
What is my talent? Who am I? What can I do to be of value, to help, to serve, you know, to create?
So I think,
and in big, always, it's just important that we honor that little voice.
Yes. I think like that self-reflection, understanding what we want from life, giving it time to kind of grow and, you know, maybe solidify in terms of, you know, the belief. And then, yes, set out. And of course, like, not measure it with, you know, the way it is being measured today, that outwardly measure of success. But the inner satisfaction, this is what I want to do. And I'm doing it. Because, yes, you're right. I mean, you know, those outwardly measures of success, I don't think they can give you joy or happiness or even contentment for a very long period of time. Because I also feel that they're, you know, transient. They're there
to attention. Where is your attention? Your attention is on someone else and their reaction.
Attention
being to, what am I doing? Yeah. Am I, from yesterday, did I learn something? From yesterday, did I contribute something? What value addition did I do within me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of times sometimes it is finding a path. Sometimes we're lucky that we find a path in it. But sometimes we have to try one thing and try another and find that it failed or find that it didn't hold our interest. But without doing, we can't get anywhere. We have to do.
That's the whole that karma thing, you know. You have to do it.
And I think the fear of that failure is what holds a lot of people back. How does it matter?
Yes, but you have to get out of that mindset.
The first step
is getting out of that mindset, and everything else, I think, will kind of fall in place once you're
Absolutely.
All right. So Shivani, work and family and friends and social circle, all of that, that's the normal part of life. But of course, there are days when we are down and out, you know, not so kind of bright and chirpy. So how do you motivate yourself to stay on track on days when you are not so, you know, upbeat about things?
I think fundamentally something shifts. Okay. Like, I find it's about, I say this very often, I said, life can keep going up and down, but you don't have to bob with that life ka up and down.
Yeah.
And that comes from the Isha practices, from observing myself, observing the mind. Like, you know, today this mind is throwing out a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know, you create some distance between you and all that's going on. Mm-hmm. And if your focus is on what do I need to do? You're feeling upbeat, you do it. You're not feeling so upbeat, you do it. Like, you just do it, you know, and it passes. It passes. But I do think that, so that's what spiritual practices are called, practices.
Yes.
Because it's a practice. It's something you have to do every day.
Yeah.
It's something like you eat, just like you brush your teeth.
Yeah.
You do this to keep a certain mind muscle strong and resilient.
Yes, true. I think also, like what you said, you know, what has to be done has to be done, you know, whether it's, you don't have to, like, the ups and downs, you should not, you know, like you said, bob up and down with them. Kind of just show up if it is to be done. And I think it has a lot to do with discipline. You know, with that commitment that I have to do it no matter what. So, okay, maybe today maybe I'm unwell or I'm not able to do it, but it's okay. But, you know, like, if it has to be done, then it has to be done. That kind of a thing. Yeah, that makes
sense. And also, let's start learning when, like, say, what we learned and what we teach in mind, we call it mind mastery. The program's called the Mind Mastery Foundation Program or Immersive Program. So, what we start to learn is that even the mind is a machine. There's a framework on how to use it, how to optimize its use. Yeah. If I had learned a whole bunch of those things, how important discipline is, how important your relationship with the sun is, your circadian rhythm is, you know, now it also starts to demystify. Like, you don't just think you're going through an up and down. You start to understand that, oh, I got so involved with those emotions of mine that I topped. you know, and so it's just sort of getting empowered through knowledge and experience.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah, so Shivani, you see now around you, a lot of women are being able to do what they want to do, and not only do it, but, you know, attain perfection as well. So they are becoming successful in whatever fields they're choosing to be, whether it is law, or it's medicine, or it is the media, or writing, whatever it is. My question to you is, how does the world react, or how is the world reacting to these successful women? And when I say the world, I mean both men and women. How do people react to women who are, you know, as successful as any man in the room?
I'm not your stereotypical woman type of person, or I don't think of myself as a feminist or some such. So I can't answer in that respect, because I feel like, what is your relationship with? Is it with the manifestation of what you're doing?
Okay.
Or is it with who you are? Like, for me, I don't look at life like that. I think that it's about, what am I doing? How much more am I contributing? Mm-hmm. How much more is, can I feel comforted and validated within myself for the effort I put in,
okay,
for the intention I bring to the table.
Okay.
And the truth of the world is that it doesn't always do things the way you want them to do it.
Yeah.
But at least if you are happy with what you did, if you are satisfied, if you are dead sure of the path that you're on, then one person is all right with it.
Yes, yes.
And will the world, have we known the world to be fair?
Oh, yes.
Mm. We haven't.
Yeah, yeah.
So people are people, and people will do what people do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my favorite perspectives is that, did Gandhiji give India freedom because the Brits were aligned and clapping and making way for it?
Mm.
Or was he so single-minded in his purpose of what he wanted to do that it didn't matter what, how the world ultimately sort of made room for what he believed in and what he was working towards with a lot of resistance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I guess ultimately it is your satisfaction, your contentment, and your happiness with what you're doing. If you're okay with what you're doing, then...
Contribution. You know, where is my attention?
Yeah.
Is it, again, is it on other people and their reaction to what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I focused on learning, growing, goal setting, chasing those goals?
True, true. That I think is very important. And it is, again, it's the mind. We have to understand that, yes.
Yeah, true.
So everything actually then gravitates around that.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So Shivani, I'm sure you've noticed around you that a lot of people in their, you know, late 40s, early 50s, or even earlier than that, are nowadays moving to other careers, you know, doing things which are completely opposite to what they were doing earlier, and which I would like to term as midlife rebooting. Okay, so why do you think this is happening? I mean, is it that people from the older generation were not aware of their passions or other interests apart from their work? Or is it because now we are in a better position as compared to maybe our parents, and you know, have the ability, the capability, and maybe the wherewithal to do what we want to do other than the work?
So I think that a few things. I think at every point in civilization,
mm-hmm.
things become different norms.
Mm.
And every set of parents, like if we look at ourselves as a set of parents, then every set of parents will look back at their parents and see that they've grown beyond where their parents were standing.
Yeah.
You know, and And life is about progression.
Of course.
And with the advent of the amount of opportunity and the amount of knowledge, information that we have access to.
Yeah.
I think that what's happening now is that the possibility of all the things that we can do, our exposure to the opportunities is so much more.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like if, forget our generation, but when our parents were choosing careers in India, it was like lawyer, doctor, business, accounts. Like, you know, there was only some 2, 3, 4 things. Yeah. I still remember I had a school friend when I was in high school who said, I'm going to be a pilot.
Huh.
And I was so confused.
Hmm.
Like, yes, there were pilots who'd fly planes, but I didn't know anybody who was a pilot or who said, oh, I'm going to be a pilot. Hmm. Right? So it was very unusual a profession.
Yeah.
But now there's just more exposure. So I would like to say we're coming more and more into us, our own, rather than just following the familiar,
the straight jacket, maybe
the straight or the much walked path.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's right. So you're right, there is exposure, there is awareness, and then there is flexibility, acceptance.
And also I do feel that, especially when you speak about women, once your active years of parenting are over, when you have adult children, it also in many ways sort of changes priorities, changes options, changes the landscape of your opportunity.
Correct. It does. It does. It makes a lot of difference. Yeah.
Okay. It's exciting. It's actually exciting to see people look at these podcasts that you are doing or what I am doing. It's. I don't think if 10 years ago somebody told me I would be doing this, I'd be like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Like,
So that is what this awareness, this opportunity, and of course, you know, social media is playing a very critical role, because when you see other people doing it, obviously you get motivated and the vista opens up. There is so much more. You become aware of what you can do. You know, if you are like living in a closed room with no exposure to the outside world, you're not likely to know what's happening. But when you open up, there is like a whole set of things that, you know, whole set of options that kind of unfold before you. I think that makes a lot of
sense. I remember like during lockdown, scrolling Instagram and seeing the story of this 86-year-old lady in Punjab starting a laddu business.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awestruck. Absolutely awestruck that, oh my God. Yeah.
Delighted. Think, look at the power of what's possible today. Digitization has done that. It has been an equalizer. It has been a disruptor completely.
Absolutely. And again, it's the mind. Mastery of mind. Age is barrier. You know, it's your mind.
You don't want to be cloistered. You want to shed your boundaries. It's not about someone else's glass ceiling. What about your own head ka glass ceiling?
true. Very true. All right. So Shivani, normal circumstance for most women where we have to juggle different balls and different roles all the time. I mean, I don't want to elaborate. You know, I know what all we have to do all the time. So is there any way that you have found, how do you juggle the various roles that you have to play in your life?
I don't juggle.
Okay.
I do what I do at different times.
Right.
When I take care of my kids, I take care of my kids. When I have to work, I work.
Yeah.
If someone asks of me, I think it's the compartmentalization that makes us feel like we need to juggle.
Okay.
You can live your life being, you know, if there is this beautiful version of Sangeeta, now that same Sangeeta will bring that beautiful version to the podcast and she'll take it to her kids and she'll take it out when she goes out into the world and she takes it to her marriage.
Yeah.
It's that. So I don't think of it like that. I think
Okay.
that again, it's about whatever you're doing, if you can do it with a certain focus and intention, then each bit of what you need to do will be done well.
So
I'm
maybe
not saying I need to do all of it well, but I am it is my aspiration.
Shivani, knowing when to do what. If I know that right now this is what I need to do, I do it and I give it my 100% and not think about the 20 other things that I have to do. You know, just be focused. Again, the mind. We are coming back to it again and again.
That's the point. See, it's about the quality of your attention,
Yes.
right?
Absolutely,
And
absolutely.
there's two things. There's one is the quality of your attention, because when you'll give all of it to one thing,
Yeah.
then that get done with a certain level of proficiency.
Yeah.
So you move on to the next thing, then again you give that same quality of attention. That's one part of it. The second thing is clarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you are working on your mind, then you have that much more clarity. Clarity of thought, you have more perspective. You can sort of observe yourself. What are these choices I'm making? Why am I making it? What is it in my head that's full of and going on making jalebis on the inside? Like, so when you can start looking at that, then you have a little more perspective. Rather than questioning something on the outside, you question yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing?
Right.
And so when you have that clarity, then you will know what to say yes to, what to say no to.
Yes, that is true. So the clarity again in your mind is very important. And, you know, give your 100%. And like I said, don't think of all the other things you have to do. They will also happen in time. But right now,
Absolutely.
this is the task at hand. So let me do my best here, whatever I can.
Being is a social creature. So we all have hundreds of things that we need to do, have to do,
Yeah.
want to do. You
That's right.
know, and the choices we make, that's what makes the difference. Like, how you choose.
Yes,
Will you keep running after everything that your heart tugs at?
yeah.
Or will you say no to many things and say, no, this is where I would want to put my attention?
Yeah. So basically, not run after every ball, but choose the balls that are critical, that are crucial or important for you. Okay.
I mean, just to give what is important more space, to
Yeah.
create space.
Correct. So, Shivani, where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
I think more of the same thing,
Okay.
really, just learning, growing, contributing,
Yeah.
becoming a better version of myself.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think every woman needs to believe in that. You know, learning, growing, evolving is a constant, should be a constant in life. And when we strive to become better versions or better at whatever we are doing, I think we are just opening up so much for ourselves. And I think that is what is important. You need to open up your mind to it.
Contributing, lots and lots more of contributing.
Great. That's a wonderful thought. And my final question, which, as I always say, I ask every woman guest, can a woman have it all?
What does have it all even mean, Sangeeta?
Yes, that is actually the
You
clarity
know
of first.
what is that? What is have it all? Like, I think that if I am on a quest, when you say, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? So I'm like, I want to be a much better version. So today I can't have that 10 year later version of myself.
Yes.
So at all times, it's about where is my focus? Where is my attention? And it's not about what I'm acquiring. It's really about what am I giving to it? And yes, I can give it all.
Yes.
So I don't know about have it all, but I think I can give it all.
So
But
when
I
you're
have.
giving it all is maybe when you're having it all, because this is what you want to do. So when I say have it all, I basically mean that. Do you have what you want? And the choices that you've made, are those choices your choices or they've been imposed on someone? So if I've made my own choices and if my choice is to give it all, then it is my have it all, because that's what I want from life. So I think maybe not at the same time, but every woman can aspire to have all that they want at different points.
And I also think that one of the things that I've learned, I didn't understand this as a young person, because I really did feel like restrictions were imposed from the outside.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's because we are fearful. It's because we are not willing to stand up for what we believe in. We are not willing to stand up for ourselves, and we expect someone else to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't want the heavy lift.
Yes.
You know, it's convenient to blame someone else for it.
That is true. So I think we need to have clarity, and then we need to kind of stand up for ourselves and work towards what we want. That I think is important.
Yes.
Everyone needs to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Every human being needs
every
to do
human
that.
Being. Yes. Let us, yes, make it yes. Every human being. Yes, Shivani, an extremely, extremely enlightening conversation. Very interesting. And I love the way that how everything ultimately is about the mind. That we need to be mindful about that, because it is all about that. So I think this conversation with you has really, you know, made me focus. And I'm sure the listeners will also kind of, you know, start focusing on that, that it is at the root of everything. Whatever we want, whatever we do, whatever we don't want in life, the root is the mind.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that this conversation has brought out very beautifully. So thank you so much for being on the show. And I hope you enjoyed being here. We certainly enjoyed having you with us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to share, to be a part of your wonderful quest. And I do hope that all of my, you know, ruminations and learnings are of some value to people out there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Actually, we have no idea how they can impact and how they can create value, but they most certainly can. That I firmly believe in.
But it was my pleasure to share. Thank you so much. So thank you so much for the opportunity to do it.
You're most welcome. All right. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us, and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.